thank you for your attention and for joining us on this joyous occasion. It seems we've been pregnant forever. But we're in the home stretch now, and Fiona and I thought it was about time we let you in on the big secret. But since we're creatives, in both our roles as community organizers and as life partners and soon-to-be co-parents, we thought we'd keep you in suspense just a little bit longer. I'm about to light this fuse on this cannon. Don't worry, it's a special cannon. It's not made to cause harm. It's called a love and discovery cannon. I learned how to make it from a YouTube tutorial. When it goes off, a shower of confetti will divulge the secret. Blue if we're having a boy, and pink if it's a girl. Ooh. Here we go.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
What you heard before the show theme is a take on something that actually happened not too long ago at a GRP. That's a gender reveal party. Seems they become an American tradition, taking narcissism to the next level. Now it's not just dig me on my birthday or my graduation. Now it's, hey world, you may now commence adoration of my offspring before it's even born. And you just might get dead or maimed by the circus-style fanfare during the gender reveal party. And I say, huzzah! Keep it up and double down! By the way, we don't say gender here. Sex was and is just fine, but when we're quoting insanity, well, you know what I mean. All kinds of mayhem has ensued through these gender reveal parties. A pilot crashed his plane while attempting to drop hundreds of gallons of pink water at one gender reveal party. At another, some chooch built a pipe bomb to celebrate, which put a chunk of shrapnel right through Grandma's aorta. Wonder if she learned the gender before she croaked. Another idiot set off a smoke bomb that wound up igniting 22,000 acres right here in Southern California, and I remember that one. The sunsets were spectacular. They were kind of pink, too. Maybe the kid was female. Last week's episode was entitled America Dumbed Down, and a key element of stupidity is narcissism. Nobody cares what sex anybody's kid is but the parents. And sometimes they don't care either. I have two girls, and I didn't care whether they were male or female. All I cared about was that they had 10 fingers and toes and were healthy. The gender reveal nonsense, when did that become a thing? What makes any couple think that anyone cares what sex their kid is? Especially when so many kids decide they no longer like their birth sex and want to switch it up. Do mommy and daddy have to return the gifts that were given at the party? Seems like they should. Okay, everyone, come to our house. Or as I often see here in L.A., come to some park on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon and bring a bunch of shit from Babies R Us bibs and pack and plays and diaper genies and wipe warmers, and then act surprised when we tell you it's a boy or a girl. Wow, how astonishing. Who could have guessed it would be either male or female? Turns out some women actually did begin this insanity back in 08. And now that idiots are dying over them, she kind of regrets it. When you think about it, though, the cannons and pipe bombs and plane crashes and sucking wounds and ambulances and ERs, those would be a welcome relief from the stultifying boredom those parties must be. Maybe the problem is simply parties. I'm always thinking of epitaphs for myself, and one that I've long fancied, what am I, British? One I've liked a lot would be, Larry, he never went to a party. Even though I've been to dozens, probably hundreds, not one of them ever met my stringent standards. Beginning with the first one I can remember, I was maybe 3 or 4. It was for my cousin's birthday. There were so many reasons not to enjoy it, right from jump. First, it was a beautiful summer day. Even by my young age, I knew to treasure those in New York where winter and spring are awful. Next, I really didn't give a shit about my cousin. Then my parents forced me not only to attend, but to pretend that I wanted to be there. I was ordered to hand him a wrapped gift and tell him, happy birthday. Fuck him. I wanted a gift. And I was their kid. Why should I have to give something to another kid? Let his parents give him a gift. Then the party, being populated by toddlers, made it like bedlam. And I don't like chaos. Kids bouncing around like fleas in a jar, wearing those stupid party hats. I refuse to wear one. And people don't like that. It's a rebellion against groupthink and group wear. Then there was the bill of fare. Ice cream, cake, and soda. I rarely drank sodas as a kid, and now will only be facing dehydration and death. But washing down sweet cake with sweet soda is enough to gag a maggot. And then, the big moment. Out comes that cake, and the forced singing of that idiotic song, and then the birthday boy gets to blow out the candles and spray his sputum all over the cake. After that, the Opry cake party games. Pin the tail on the donkey and blind man's bluff. Who thought of that shit? The only time I want to wear a blindfold is when I'm chained up by some pointy vixen in black leather and ankle straps. Of course, I wasn't thinking about that at that party. And at this stupid toddler party, I kept staring out the window. I wanted to be outside, in the sunshine and fresh air, riding my bike or kicking a can or playing tag with my pals at home. At some point, I just had enough. So, I locked my ass in the toilet for several hours. Both my parents stood on the other side of that door, begging me to come out, but I wouldn't. Finally, when I heard the room tone die down to a dull roar, I unlocked the door and emerged. Ooh, Mom and Dad were plenty pissed. But they never forced me to attend another party. You know, most parties suck because they combine several key elements that doom them. First, gifts. You go to some friend's house to hang out. Not for a party, just to hang out. And you bring a case of beer or a couple bottles of wine. Okay. But a personal gift, well, unless it's a four-figure check, it's probably going to disappoint. The next element is the pretending. Party attendees must pretend many things. First, that they're enjoying themselves. No locking yourself in a toilet. They must pretend that they like the party giver, and the party giver's home, and outfit, and furniture, and barbecue. That the bride is beautiful and the groom is handsome, and they make a perfect couple. I once attended a wedding where a brawl broke out between the families, and some guy shot up the place. You can hear all about that madness in episode 16, way back in the March 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. That episode was called Everybody's Crazy, No Exceptions. Then there's the forced socialization at parties, right? You're going to be introduced to strangers, perhaps seated at a table with them. Some of those strangers you will want to stab through both lungs before they complete a single sentence. If it's a sit-down dinner, you may be marooned with those zombies. If it's a walk-around cocktail party, try eating a plate of hors d'oeuvres as you drink. Even if you can find a seat to chow down, it's still a challenge to balance a plate on your knees as you cut the prime rib. No one has solved this problem, but I have. For those stand-up and walk-around cocktail parties, everyone should be given a tray with a neck strap like the cigarette girls had in nightclubs and old gangster movies. Those would be great. Best of all, they would discourage air hugs and force social distancing. You could have your drink, your food, your cutlery, napkin, maybe even a candle if you feel romantic about yourself. Then there's the social lubricant, booze. But that's a double-edged sword. Sure, it loosens people up. But as the Romans noted, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. And when people get a snootful, they are more likely to inform someone that they want to stab them in both lungs. Or maybe just ambush them without any warning whatsoever. Just ask cops how many homicides occur at parties. The worst parties of all are work-related. More careers have been ruined at company Christmas parties than anywhere else. Everyone's on their best behavior. Usually, there's an open bar with top-shelf spirits, but you dare not have more than one or two over the course of the evening. You must be cordial to everyone. Dance with people that repulse you. Tell the boss he or she is your personal hero, and on and on. Corporate parties always suck. When I worked for a TV network, I attended parties that cost well in excess of $1 million. Mountains of caviar, magnums of Dom, small batch designer single malts and bourbons and Armagnacs. The place carpeted with TV stars and uber pointy women. And you could not say or drink or do anything that you really wanted to. Party is one of the most elastic words in the language. Could be anything from that toddler's birthday bash to some 3-day blowout on a jillionaire's yacht. For some, to party just means getting high, maybe alone in the basement. A necktie party means somebody's going to swing, and not with the neighbor's wife. Party protocol varies geographically, too. When I first moved to L.A., I was invited to a birthday party at some chain joint. I don't recall, it was like a Chili's or El Torito or something, and the birthday boy was an attorney, a Stanford grad working at a big law firm. There were about a dozen people there. I was bored out of my skull. I was praying for a fire, maybe an earthquake or a terrorist attack. There was no escape. And finally, when it was over, the waiter walked around and handed everyone a separate fucking check. I wanted to leap onto that table, punt what was left of the cake into birthday boy's face and scream, "Grow the fuck up." In New York, if somebody invited you to a party at a restaurant, they picked up the tab, always. Not so in L.A. As our so-called culture continues its decline, you have to wonder what will be next on the party agenda. I'm seeing a lot of people on social media whooping it up about getting that so-called vaccine. They've had Botox parties for years, so they've got to be doing the Wuhan flu vaccine parties soon, or maybe right now. And since they all seem to need two doses and boosters for the endless mutations and variants, so these parties can be repeated again and again. Fauci the faker says, we need masks, whether we get the vaccine or not, or have had the illness or not. So from now on, every party will be a masked ball with blue gloves outdoors. As Alice said, it just keeps getting curiouser and curiouser. But this ain't Wonderland, is it? It's like another dimension. What's my idea of a real party? The party scene from that old movie, Trading Places, with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. That was a party. Don't know if I'll ever find one like that, but if you hear of one, please dial me in. I promise not to lock myself in the toilet. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by ThatLarryShow.com for hundreds of other episodes. Fantastic images, videos, comment and commentary. It's kind of like the after party for every episode. While there, click a subscribe button so you never miss a show. And if you really like what you're hearing, click the Patreon button and help support my never-ending fight against phonies, commies, and the bullshit they spread. When you support this show, you become a member of the Take No Shit Dojo, a wonderful place filled with bonus content, signed books, custom recordings, and the fellowship of others who know what time it is. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a fun social network called Mastodon. You can find all the addresses back at the show page. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I'll see you next Wednesday. And until that time, take no shit.